How many times have I heard the... How many times have I bowed before God to ask His forgiveness for some wrong I have done? How many times have I heard the Lord say, child, as long as I have mercy, you're forgiven today. Mercy, mercy, God's love and mercy has saved both you and me.
Amen.
Oh, if we had gotten justice, we'd surely be lost. But we found mercy when we knelt at the cross.
Amen. When we nailed it to the cross.
Thank you,
Sister Gayla. Appreciate y'all singing that song there, Mercy. There is mercy to be had. That mercy is in Him, amen. Hallelujah. What great mercy He showed us, amen. All right. Anybody else came down your heart tonight? We'll give you opportunity there. If not, let's open up our Bibles. Mark chapter 13. Mark 13. I got this message this morning. When I say I got this message this morning, I'm just a messenger boy anyway. And other message I preached this morning, I got this morning also. So I got up early this morning. And the reason I did was for the purpose of getting in touch with heaven. And I like getting in touch with heaven because that's where all the source of my blessings come from. But in Mark chapter 13, if you get that good old King James Bible out, and if you got a Scofield Bible like me, it'll be on page 1064, Mark 13, starting in verse number 28. And Jesus says, now learn a parable of the fig tree, where her branch is yet tender, and put her forth leaves. You know that summer's near. So in like manner, when you shall see all these things come to pass. Now they just asked Him when the end was going to be, what was going to be the sign of His coming. And all He's doing is answering them in a way that they can understand. And He's putting it in what I call layman's terms. So He says, in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it's nigh, and it's our text verse. Listen to what He said. Know that it's nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation, that's a reference to Israel, shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But at that day and that hour knoweth no man. So don't put no stock in somebody telling you December the 21st. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. But take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at eve or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, and that word, you ought to underline your Bible, I got it underlined in mine, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping, and what I say unto you, I say unto all. Now he's talking to his 12 disciples, and he put this verse in here so we could apply it to us. But he says, what I say unto you, talking about those 12, he said, I say unto all, watch. I want to preach tonight, know that it's nigh. Take that out of that one verse right there. Verse 29, know that it's nigh. Even at the doors, we'll go to God in prayer. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for, Lord, the good service this morning. Thank you for the good crowd that showed up this morning, the good crowd that's here tonight. Lord, I pray even, Father God, tonight, Lord, you'd set a table before us, that all, Father, here tonight that may be hungry can come and sup with you, and all that may be thirsty can come and, Lord, drink from the living waters. I pray, dear Father, tonight you'd visit our hearts as you did this morning. Pray it encourage us, Lord, dear Father, tonight. And Lord, open our eyes with eyesight from the Word of God that we may see and be able to redeem the times. For Lord, they're evil. And I pray, dear Father, Lord, tonight you would encourage and strengthen that which remaineth. And we'll bless your name tonight. Ask it the best we can in Jesus' name that your will might be manifested here tonight. Amen. Jesus said, know that it's nigh. Now, some people don't want to know about the end times. Now, my granddaughter, she's young, and she don't want to know about it. One reason she don't want to know about it is because she wants to get married, she wants to have kids, and have a home and a family, and she falls in the category of many. And they don't want to hear about things like you're going to hear about tonight. But it's inevitable. I mean, you can be an ostrich, you can put your head in the sand, but it ain't going to change nothing. But, hey, bless you, Mike. Some people don't want to know about the end of the world. And some people do want to know. And I hope you're here tonight and somewhat interested in the things and events going on. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 talks about the coming of the Lord. And it says, for yet a little while. Those two words mean it may not be very long. And he that shall come will come. There's another couple words. A little while he will come and will not tarry. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, he said, but the day of the Lord will come. A little while will come. Acts chapter 2, verse 20. Before that great and notable day of the Lord come, I want you to know that He is going to come. Now, He came once, and I know the world, they don't want to acknowledge it. I was over at Brother Melvin's this afternoon, and we watched just a little bit of news there. And there was a school dismissed, a school that's going to go watch Charlie Brown Christmas movie. And one mother, one of the children, by the way, it was voluntary. You didn't have to go, Keith. It was, if you wanted to go, you could go watch this Charlie Brown Christmas movie. One mother protested and said that it was too religious. And she said it violated the so-called separation of church and state. And, I mean, some as innocent as Charlie Brown, and yet they showed some excerpts from that, and Linus told Charlie Brown what Christmas was all about a Savior being born unto us. And, you know, that for some people, that's offensive. They don't want to know about it. But, you know, it's not going to stop Him from coming, Brother Lloyd. He's still going to come. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All souls belong to Him. I mean, the Creator came down, died for His creation. And in love, He came down and in love gave His life. But also so that we could have forgiveness, so that we could have the unspeakable gift of them girls sung about there about going to Calvary and getting forgiven, getting saved. That all happened because He came. And just like He came that first time, Molly, He's coming again, amen. And I tell you what, one thing that's inevitable, that's a fact, buddy. And I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how agnostic, how atheist they get, or however they get, He's still going to come. But Luke chapter 21, and now we will read a few verses out of here because I'm laying a foundation now. But Luke chapter 21, he mentions some things that would help us know the time of the coming of the Lord. In Luke chapter 21, verse 7, he said, they asked him, said, Master, when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said unto them, take heed that you be not deceived. And that's one thing going on nowadays is people are being deceived. And I don't really want to elaborate on that, but I could spend a while on that. And you know, that so-called separation of church and state, you check that out, and it is so-called, they've misappropriated it. And many people are deceived in that saying, and they think it's legitimate. They think there ought to be, and there's not. Really, all that is, you know, the church is supposed to have the preeminence over the government instead of the government having the preeminence over the church. They're not supposed to meddle in the affairs of the church, give the church. But he said, many are coming in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and the time draweth near. Go you not therefore after them. He said, there'll be a lot of people saying, you need to get in with me because the Lord's fixing to come. And you know, one thing causes more people to go to hell than anything is deception. That's why that scripture in Matthew chapter 7, where them people said, Lord, did we not do many mighty things in your name, prophesy or preach in your name and cast out devils in your name? And the Lord said, hey, I never knew you, depart from me. And many people will fall in that category, they'll be deceived. And he also said, verse 9, he said, but when you shall hear of wars and commotions, that's what's going on over in the Middle East. He said, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We saw these dictators be overthrown over there in foreign countries, and rightly so, because it's in the Bible here. And he said, there'll be great earthquakes. I've been watching the news, and earthquakes have been increasing like crazy, and they're everywhere. We just had one here in Kentucky not too long ago. But he said, earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence and terrible sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all of these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and into prisons, and being brought forth kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now, in Canada, if I speak out against homosexuality, they'll arrest me and put me in jail, and those things are coming here also. What's there is coming here. Right now, we kind of got the peace before the storm. But he said, when they do that, don't worry. He said, verse 13, it'll turn to you for a testimony. He said, sell it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I'll give you a mouth. I thank the Lord for utterance to be able to preach. But God said, I'll give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. That's what Stephen had when he told that mob. He said, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as did your fathers. Man, he had a mouth and he had wisdom. And I'll tell you what, he cut them to the heart. But it was more of God than it was of Stephen. And, you know, he just delivered the message, and they didn't like it too good. They took it out on him. But he said, and ye shall be betrayed by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death. Now, right now, you're not being persecuted for your faith. But I'll tell you this, when the Antichrist, the closer we get to the Antichrist, there's going to be a lot of betrayal. There's going to be a lot of people who's going to say, my daddy's one of them that reads his Bible. My daddy's one of them that prays. You remember what happened there in Daniel there? They told him, you know, that they couldn't pray, and Daniel just went in there and opened up his windows and prayed like he did before. That's going to come. And now this reference here is about Israel, verse 17, also to the church. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now the reason for that is because of his name. They'll hate us because of him. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. I say glory to God. Hallelujah. I've been trying to give her my old bald head up, but I'm glad there ain't a hair going to perish. And he said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. And those things right there, verse 20, he said, and when you shall see Jerusalem, and it's not going to be far, this is going to happen, compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. In verse 25, I'm going to skip a few verses here. He said there'll be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. Everybody's looking for a sign. Well, there's going to be plenty of them. And upon the earth, the stress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves thereof roaring. And you know, we just had that tsunami hit, and we had Sandy hit, and all these people. And it said men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, He said, then look up and lift up your head, and again, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I'll tell you, we're not far from leaving out of here, and I say the sooner the better. Look at verse 34. He said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts should be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. I mean, the Lord could come today. Keep that thought in mind. Make sure your life lines up with the fact that He could come.
Amen.
For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. When we was watching that little thing on the news about that Charlie Brown thing, someone said, you know, they kind of said it sarcastically, maybe God ought to intervene in that. But he's gonna judge this world, and the Bible said that He's ready to judge the quick and the dead His appearing. But I want to go now to Luke 17, and we'll probably be a little slower right here. Luke 17, the Lord here gives again a clue to the coming of the Son of Man, and He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. He said they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, those days of Noah, that pictures the Jew that's going to go through the tribulation. That's what that ark's all about. And you look in Genesis 6, sometime not tonight, Genesis 6, verses 5 through 12, and you'll see there that God saw the wickedness that was upon the earth, and He saw only evil continuing, evil imaginations in the heart of men. The Bible said it grieved Him at His heart, and I'll tell you what, that's what I see. I mean, I'm getting a little grieved. I'm getting a little weaned off of this world down here, and I was talking to Anthony a little bit this morning. He said they went to some kind of mall called the World Mall or something like that. He said it's four stories and had a carousel in there. And he said, Brother Eddie, he said, Melissa went shopping. He said, I sat down. And he said, you can't believe the things I saw. I said, yeah, that's what Brother Ev said. I sat down and watched the hits go by. There ain't no description for them. He said he saw people, two young girls holding hands, and two young boys holding hands. And evidently that's normal up there, Brother Lloyd. It ain't got down here, but it's coming. But wickedness and evil continually. And you know, they call evil good, they call good evil. And our government, it just seems like they're full of evil. And full of devils and demons. And I don't know who's running the show, but I know who's going to run it here pretty soon.
Amen.
But God made a reference to those days of Noah. And you know what now? Me and Mervyn, we were watching that news down along the bottom line there, and it talked about some Indian reservation. Some guy come in, shot three people and killed them. Took two girls hostage, shot both of them, had a shootout with the police and was wounded. And that's just normal. I mean, we expect to see that on there. But that wickedness, that evil continually, it's escalating. But look at verse 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. Now this is a little different. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, two distinctions here. Lot, he pictures the church. Noah, he pictures the Jew. The Jews have got to go through the tribulation. That's what Noah did. Noah went through the judgment that God brought upon the earth. He repented that he made man. He said, I'll destroy man whom I've made and all the things whom the breath of life is. And he done it with water. And he told Noah to build an ark. He found grace. And you can find grace in the eyes of God. It ain't hard to do. Most people don't want to find it. It's the reason they don't, but you can find it. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that grace helped him in that judgment, that coming judgment. And he done. The Bible said in Hebrews that Noah moved with fear to prepare an ark to the saving of his house and his family. And they built that ark and got in it and escaped that judgment. And that's what the Jews are going to do. They're going to go through that tribulation, Molly. But now Lot's different than Noah. Lot didn't go through. Lot was taken out. The Bible said Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day. From the conversation of the wicked, and neither was he partaker of their evil deeds, but Lot, God sent two angels down and drug him out, and I guess he's gonna drag us out too, Molly. I don't know. I know one thing, I'm leaving it all behind. I ain't looking back. Amen. But I'll tell you what, nothing happened until Lot got out. Those angels said, we can't do nothing till you get out. And everybody's always wondering why God ain't destroyed the earth. I'll tell you why he ain't, because we're here.
Amen.
And the Bible said we've not been appointed unto wrath but obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lot pictures you and me. And while he was there, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out, and we are going to go out. Going to go out with a shout. I'm going to go out with victory, amen. That day it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. I want you to know, buddy, fire and brimstone, not water's coming. And it destroyed them all. Even this, he said, shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Don't miss it. Fervent heat. Pass away. Shall melt. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That means that world mall with the four stories and the carousel in the center are going to be burned up. That means the new World Trade Center. That means all of them great colossal buildings that man has erected are going to be burned up. But in Lot's day, homosexuality was everywhere. You find that real clear in the Bible. Genesis chapter 19 verses 4 through 8. God said the cry of them was great before the face of the Lord. Genesis 19:13. Genesis 13:13 says the men of Sodom were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. But let me say this. Our government right now is in the process of overthrowing Proposition 8. That's where we voted for marriage to be only between one man and one woman. Matter of fact, believe it or not, even Bill Clinton passed a law called DOMA. And that also protected the marriage. But both of them are being disannulled and dissolved. And right now, the Supreme Court's in the process of appealing Proposition 8. Now, one reason they're doing that is because they're corrupt. But they're also going against your will and my will. And overthrowing our will and shoving down our throats this homosexual thing. And one reason they're doing that is because Obamacare won't work without doing this. Now Obamacare is provide free health care at your expense. So get your billfold out. I guarantee you, you're going to pick up the bill. You write word down on that right there. You're going to pick up the bill. Yeah, they know how to share the wealth, and it's your wealth they're sharing. All your work, all you've laid up is going to be exhausted. But we must pay for this care of these homosexual lesbian lifestyles. We got to pick up the bill. And we're literally seeing the Bible being fulfilled. The Bible prophecies are being fulfilled in our very day. Our president has said himself, and I'm sure you're aware of this. If you're not, I'll make you aware of this. He said he's evolving on how he feels about same-sex marriage. I've had several people tell me that he's a homosexual. I don't know. You find out, you let me know. I don't know. But I know one thing, he's for the homosexual lifestyle. I don't know if it's about votes or political gain or what, but I do know this, that he's one of the ones that's pushing this. And not only is our president evolving, our Supreme Court is in the process of appealing our will overthrowing Proposition 8, but all it is a sign of the times that we're right up to date with the Bible. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that perilous times are not going to get better, going to get worse. It says perilous times will come. By the way, they have came. And he says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And they are here, amen. Verse 13 says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's why it ain't going to get better, it's going to get worse. And men are lovers of their own selves. And they're haters of God. And they're high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And they're ever learning but never able to come to knowledge of the truth. And they resist the truth. Amen. But these last days are perilous times, and I'm glad the Lord is going to come. I about had my fill of it, amen. Yeah. But they're going to come. They are here. Our children, the best thing that happened to them is not that they could grow up, get married, and have kids. The best thing that happened to them is they get like us, get out of this mess, because it's not going to get no better. It's going to get worse. And I tell you what, buddy, Lot, he got out, and when he got out, boy, judgment came. Lot, like us, we're going to get out, and as soon as we get out, right now we're the thing that's holding back the judgment that's coming. And the Bible says in a Revelation, woe be unto the inhabitants of the world. And the reason it says woe, Brother Bobby, is it says they're going to be made to drink of the cup of the wrath of God. They're going to get what they deserve. They're going to get, I'm glad I got mercy. I didn't deserve it, but I'm glad I got it. But they're not going to get mercy. That woman went to that photographer, and she's over there posing, and he's looking. And she said, I hope that camera do me justice, Keith. And that man raised up behind that camera. He said, ma'am, you don't need justice. You need mercy. Amen? But I'll tell you what, buddy. I'm glad I got mercy. I'm glad I didn't get justice. I got something I didn't deserve. I got, praise God, pardon from hell. And I got, praise God, forgiven. Got a home in heaven. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But right now, buddy, the only thing keeping the world from being judged and brought into judgment with God is the fact he's got a little church down here doing a little work for God. I don't know how long we've got. I just know the Bible says that, the day's at hand. Me and Brother Melvin tried to go talk to a man this afternoon, and we may have went at a bad time. I don't know. We did wake him up. I know that. Y'all remember him. He needs to be saved.
Yeah.
But we didn't really meet on good terms, and he's a little mad. But don't hold against someone for caring about your soul, trying to keep you out of a devil's hell, trying to keep him going that place, praise God, that God said he prepared for the devil and his angel, man, ought to appreciate somebody coming to him and reason with him about dying lost, amen. But I've been where that man was. I had the same attitude he had before I got saved, but y'all just pray for him.
Yeah.
But don't let him hold him back, Sister Molly. Is the fact we're like Lot. We're waiting for the Lord to come. And you notice God sent two angels. Mm-hmm. The Bible said the Lord being merciful to him, they got Lot by the hand and his two daughters, his wife by the hand, and drug them out. And they'll have to drag us out too, Galen. Man, we'll be wanting to clean house and fix breakfast and clean the bathroom and put gas in the car, and God's going to get us by the hand. He's just going to drag us out and say, time to go home, amen. Ain't going to need no glasses. Ain't going to need no gasoline. Ain't going to need nothing. We're going home.
Right.
I like to go home for the holidays, Margaret.
Amen.
I like to go home and see the good things the Lord's got prepared.
Amen.
I like to go home and see my family. Have a family, have a real Christmas, amen. Have all my family there.
Amen.
And I mentioned this morning, you know, to some people this time of year is not a joyful event. It's a sorrowful event, and Jessica and Monica, their dads both passed away. Jessica's dad passed away this year. And it's going to take its toll on her. It's going to be a different Christmas for her. She's going to go through her first Christmas without her dad. Monica's done been through one Christmas without her dad. But y'all remember them two young girls? A lot of people, this ain't a joyful time. It's a time they're hurting. But I promise you this, buddy. When the Lord does come, and one thing He wanted us to be aware of, He wanted us to know that it's now. It's so close, and I certainly ain't going to be a prophet tonight, but it's so close that every night I pillow my head, I expect to wake up in heaven.
Amen.
And one day I will. Amen. I'll sleep my last sleep, and I'll go praise God where it's one eternal day. I don't have to scribe about it. I just know I'm going to go there, and I'm going to know more about it when I get there. I told them this morning, I said, I know in part and I see in part, and that's why I wear glasses. That's why I got a bald head, trying to figure things out, scratching my head, Keith, trying to figure things out. But up there, praise God, I'll know all things. I won't need no glasses, Molly. I won't need anything. I'll just stand and see the glory of God. The Bible said those disciples went up on the mount with Christ. They saw Him transfigured. And they saw Him in His glory. And Peter, you know, you never know what you're going to say, especially in an event like that. And you know what to say. He said, Lord, this is a good place to be. He said, let's build three tabernacles, one for You, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I mean, what do you say when you're up there in glory land? And I'm telling you, buddy, you just took you off your feet, swept you off your feet. But we're going to see Him in His glory, Molly. We're not going to have to come back down. We're going to be able to stay. They had to come back down. There was work needed to be done. But when we see Him in His glory, the tolls of the road will seem as nothing. Amen. The Bible says, for I reckon the suffering this present time, not worthy to be compared with the glory shall be revealed in us. But I'll tell you what, this world's in for a rude awakening. These agnostic, these atheists, these homosexuals, these politicians, you know, that are standing in the way of your and my will. And I don't condone some of this stuff. And I don't like them going undermining my will.
That's right.
To push through some minority's will. When I say that, I thought the government was supposed to be of the people and for the people.
Amen.
I ain't politicking that, but just listen to me tonight. When the government's not for the people and of the people, there's something wrong. We don't need that kind of government. That's one thing about America is, you know, we've got freedom of speech, and they're going to try to take it away. And I'm going to use it as long as I can, but when they take it away, I guess I'll have to cut my tongue out because I'm still going to speak against it. But our government is corrupt, and they need to be thrown out and put some fresh ones in there. And, you know, they're one of the things, buddy, that's going to get the full blunt, going to get the full blow of this right here. And I'm like old John, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But homosexuality everywhere. You know, our schools is polluted with it. I pray for my grandkids. And my prayer is, Lord, keep them pure. Don't let their minds be poisoned and perverted by this, by these lies about, you know, that you was born that way. And you know, one thing they do, Brother Lloyd, is they catch little boys when they're young. And so they say, you're not interested in girls. And they say, yeah, yeah. And they say, you're just like us. And what they're doing, see, against your knowledge and will, they go in there and they get these little boys saying, you know, you're born like me. You're not heterosexual. You're homosexual. And they get these little girls and they say, you know, you're not interested in boys. And they say, yuck. Man, I ain't interested in no boys. And they say, see, you're just like us. You're born that way. And what they're doing is they're indoctrinating the minds of our young people. And they're going in without your knowledge or consent. And what they're doing is they're preaching to these young people and they're telling them that's the way you are. And it's working. See, they can't reproduce. So what they do is they go in there and they indoctrinate them and make them into homosexuals and lesbians. And I hate to say it, that's what's going on right now in your schools. You try to take Jesus in there and see what happens. You try to take the Bible in there and see what happens. Amen? But all that right there, and I tell you, buddy, they're in for a rude awakening. When the great King shows up, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, He's going to rule the rod of iron. He's going to straighten this mess out, Molly, and it ain't going to take Him long to do it. Amen? They're going to try to run and hide. There ain't going to be no hiding place. And I'm like old John, the sooner the better come, Lord Jesus. But until then, it's going to get worse and worse. And it's going to continue that direction until the Lord comes. But right now, the only thing holding back the judgment of God is the church of the living God, that God said on this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell not prevail. But as it was in the days of Noah, it was wickedness and evil continually grieved him in his heart. As it was in the days of Lot, they eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it, until the day that Lot went out and judgment fell.
Amen.
That's about where we're at, Molly. Judgment fixing to fall, but before it falls, I'm going out. Some people think the church is going through the tribulation. They can have it. I'm gone.
Amen.
I mean, they may have to, I don't know if it's a midnight hour or cock crow or midday. I don't care if I'm driving down the road, Brother Lloyd. They can have the home, the car. Anybody left behind, they can make the best of it. I'm leaving out. Man, I ain't even wanting to leave out slow. I want to fire like a missile, Brother Melvin. I mean, they're over there talking North Korea, this saying you're breaking every law there is, building a missile. Man, this world, I don't know what it is about this world, but they're bent on destroying themselves.
Yeah.
Why in the world can't we just live like Jesus said? Love your enemies and pray for them to despitefully use you and all that, say all manner of evil against you. And they don't have to do that now. Man, we think of evil thoughts and we want what a neighbor's got and all that right there, and all we need to do is just be content with such things we have and start enjoying the life God's given us and start really... You know, I don't know how many days I've got to live. But I know one thing, I won't enjoy them if I'm wanting something that I don't have or something I don't need and not even dwelling on the things I've already got. I mean, we ain't got no room in our house for nothing else. What in the world could we possibly want? But we'd be better off instead of destroying ourselves, instead of fighting amongst ourselves, and just for lack of better words, just come together and say, boy, we're blessed people. And let's at least admit it, start living for God, live righteous, godly, and soberly. Finish out our days, boy. The Bible said, as much as in you, live peacefully with all men. I don't know how much you got in you, but I know I've got enough in me, I can just about bear anything. Man, oh man, when I get to think about what I deserve, get what I got, I'm at peace. Man, no matter what, I don't have no axe to grind. There ain't no chip on my shoulder. I ain't got anything to quarrel about. Man, I'll tell you what, God forgave me of all the debt that I owed Him. And after He forgave me, all I can forgive anybody of anything. Amen? But I'll tell you right now, know that it's nigh. Even at the door. And my pastor preached a message like this one night. And he said, I'm going to tell y'all before I do it. He said, sometime during this message, he said, I'm going to take this song book and I'm going to slam it on this pulpit. And with him saying that, right in the middle of his preaching, he took a song book, slapped that pulpit. And when he did, Chris Reese, I don't know how he done it, Brother Lloyd, but he jumped up out of that pew about that high and scared him to death. Already forewarned. I mean, Rick said plainly, already forewarned. He said somewhere during this service, he said, I'm going to slap his pulpit with a songbook. And here Chris Reese is back there, I don't know, writing love letters, love notes or whatever. And my pastor slapped that pulpit with that songbook, and Chris Reese literally lifted that high up off that pew, buddy. But that's what the Lord talked about, the coming of the Lord. He said, in an hour, you think not. Now, it's 10 minutes till 6 o'clock. If the Lord was to come at 6 o'clock, honestly answer this question, because you're the only one that can. Would you be left behind or would you leave out? Now with that, also answer this question. Would you want to be left behind or would you want to leave out? Hallelujah. I'm like a missile right now, the short fuse, Kayla. Somebody always asks me, Brother Eddie, how you know you're saved? Well, let me say this. If anybody ought to know it, you ought to know it.
Amen.
Don't expect me to tell you you're saved. Man, the only person I know for sure is saved, and I've been married to my wife 38 years, but I stand in doubt of her sometimes. But the only person I know for sure is saved is me. I was there when it happened.
Amen.
But the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means you ought to know more than anybody.
Amen.
You ought to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
You ought to be able to give a man an answer, ask you a question of the reason of hope that's within you. But if you're not saved, I promise you this, you ain't leaving.
That's right. You'll be born again.
That's right. Jesus said, marvel not, I say unto thee, you must be born again. Nicodemus, now he's a Pharisee. Now, when I say a Pharisee, what that means is he fares pretty good until something real shows up and he don't fare so good. That's why they call him a Pharisee. And Sadducees, they don't believe in the resurrection. That's why they're Sadducee.
Yeah.
But anyway, Nicodemus is a Pharisee and he's talking to something real. And something real told him, buddy, you need to get born again.
Amen.
And he's thought trying to figure that out. How you doing, brother? Good to come in on you. He's trying to figure that out. He said, how can a man be born again when he's old? And he's just thinking logically. He's got a carnal question. And the Lord said, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. He said, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. He said, the wind bloweth, now knowest not where it bloweth, and so is the spirit. And I'll tell you one thing, you can know you're saved. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he said, these things I've written, that you may know that you have eternal life. You are to know you're saved. One of the most eternal questions there ever is. Know you're saved.
Amen.
No, Paul said there in the book of Corinthians, he said, examine yourselves, prove yourselves, know yourselves whether you be in Christ or not.
Amen.
Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 8, that God giveth us of His Spirit, and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Somebody said, Brother Ed, you saved to the uttermost.
Yeah.
Man, I know 110% I know I'm saved.
Yeah.
Listen, we're talking about the coming of the Lord. One thing you don't want to be is left behind. If you're left behind, I'll tell you what, buddy, you'll see the judgment of God. You'll drink of the cup of the wrath of God. You'll wish you'd never even been born. You'll wish, I'll tell you what, buddy, that you got saved and left out. It's not going to be a party. It's going to be hell to pay.
That's right.
Going to be hell on earth. 7 years. One wrath of the wrath of God. One cup of the wrath of God every year for 7 years. Kind of like God dealing with Egypt. Man, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? You better not be a Pharaoh. You better say, what do I need to do? That Philippian jailer slid in there and he said, men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. It's simple. The Bible said, men have done harm to simplicity. It's in Christ. It's easy. Like a childlike faith. Lord, somebody told me you love me. Somebody told me if I asked you, you'd forgive me my sin and save my soul. It's the prayer I prayed when I got saved. I said, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me. And to my amazement, to the amazement of everybody else, got saved an old drunk named Eddie Wade, and I've been saved ever since that day. Now, I ain't straddling the fence, be honest with you. He's worthy better than I can give. But I'll tell you right now, until He comes to me, I want this world to know I'm saved and I ain't ashamed of Him. I want to leave behind a testimony that I please God. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And for all you that are saved, you will leave behind a testimony.
Yeah.
Go to them funeral homes. And listening preachers up there try to make up something. I remember my cousin Steve Ford got killed in that truck accident. And I remember that guy preached his funeral. I'm sitting there thinking, man, that's all I do, keep him throwing up. I mean, he's my first cousin. I know him ever since he had white hair like me on his head. And he tried and tell me he's a good father. And he was. He tried to tell me he's saved. And he wasn't. Now, when a man says a man's saved, there ought to be some fruit. Jesus said, you'll know the tree by the fruit it bears. When I try to talk to my cousin about the Lord and he walks away from me and I'm walking with him saying, Steve, the Lord loves you. He wants to bless you, save you, and help you. And he's walking away from me. That just don't add up.
Amen.
But anyway, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to quench somebody's coal. His wife come to me, Tammy, and she said, tell me my husband didn't go to hell. And I said, Tammy, I wish I could tell you that, but you need to talk to Jesus.
Amen.
Whew. Oh, me. If you're not saved tonight, I encourage you to do two things. Get saved tonight. Get ready to leave out. We ain't got very much longer. I know the Bible said in the last days there'll come mockers and are walking after their own lust and saying, where's the promise of His coming? For all things continue as they did, you know, from the days of Father. And, you know, it don't look like no change. I'll tell you this, by the word of the Lord, in an hour you think not, the Son of Man's going to come. And the church better get ready. And the lost better get ready. And the saved better get ready. Because I'll tell you what, He's going to come and He's not going to delay. Father God, we love You tonight. We bless Your name here tonight. We thank You so much, Lord, for these that have come tonight on a rainy Sunday night. Lord, come for the purpose of hearing from the Word of God. Lord, the day and hour we're living in, Father, how true Your Word is. Like the days of Noah, we're at them. Like the days of Lot, Lord, we see them. And Lord, all around us are the evidence of the truths of the great Word of God. That You said men ought not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the Bible said we do well to take heed as the light shineth in darkness. I pray, dear Father, Lord, we give the most earnest heed, lest at any time we let these things slip. May we live, I pray, Lord, a life that, Lord, be ready for eternity. Be ready to meet You at Your coming. Not be ashamed to go out to meet You. Lord, if there be one tonight here in our midst, Father God, tonight, not ready to meet You, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God will visit them even right now. Lord, with conviction so great, it'd be like a woman in travail with child. I pray they'd cry out and say, I need to get saved. Lord, let it be Your hand that does it. Jonah said, salvation's of the Lord. And I pray, dear Father, tonight You do Your mighty works in our midst. May we marvel and see Your work. And we thank You in Jesus' name, ask it. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand, please. You need to come tonight. You know more about that than I do. And I'll tell you one thing. If you need to come tonight, I'll kneel down there beside you. I'll pray with you. I can't pray for you, but I'll pray with you. That Ethiopian eunuch said, understandest what thou readest? He said, how can I accept some man should guide me? He stopped that chariot. Philip, come out and join him in the prayer. He began to sing scripture and preach to Jesus. That Ethiopian eunuch said, behold, here's water. What do I hear of men being baptized? That's verse 37. That's not in all the Bible, but if you got the right Bible, that verse is in that Bible. The Hebrew, in the King James Bible, Acts 8, verse 37, says that thou believest with all thy heart thou mayest. And your beginning said, I believe in the Christ, the Son of God. They stopped that chariot. And your beginning went down and he baptized him. Now that verse don't line up with my doctrine, so it ain't in all the Bibles. But if you got a good old King James Bible, it's in there. Acts 8:37. Won't you just come on? Don't even hesitate. Don't delay. Just come right on. You've been able to come, but you've got another year that went by like the lady brought up to. You've been aiming to come, been wanting to come. If you don't mind, won't you answer tonight? Why not tonight? Won't you just come? I'll tell you one thing, the Lord's waiting. Not only is He waiting, He's willing. He's willing to save. The Bible said Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. He's not willing that any perish. He wants you to get saved. He wants you to enjoy the joys of the Lord, a place called heaven. But if you don't get saved, first of all, you're going to be left behind. You're going to die in your sins. If you die in your sins, ain't no hope. If you die in your sins, ain't no hell. If you die in your sin, there's only hell to face. Hell's the kind of place that Jesus said, your hands don't cause you to go to hell. Jesus said, cut it off. You cut off. Hell's the kind of place Jesus said, if your foot's going to cause you to go to hell, He said, cut it off. You cut it off. Hell's the kind of place that your eyes is going to cause you to go to hell. Jesus said, put it out. You cut it off. It's not no life anymore. It's an awful place. It's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. You go to hell, it'll be your own fault. You want to go to heaven, come to Jesus tonight and say, I need to get ready to meet you. I need to get saved. Come right on. You can get ready. You can get ready tonight. Slide right in there. Glory to God. Monday, are you ready? Better be. Are you ready? Listen. Thank you, Brother Melvin. You know, God can't move you. I'll bring me a stick of dynamite here one of these days. Maybe a hand grenade or two. I'll try, but it still won't move you like the kind of moving that God does. I'll tell you right now, I was moved to go to Calvary and get saved and have a refuge for my soul. If you're not moved to get a refuge for your soul one day, buddy, I'll tell you what, you will move. Yes, you will. All right, anybody got a word in their heart tonight? Appreciate a brother coming in here tonight.
I want to thank you for saving me and keeping me, and I just want to do what you have me to do, because I'm, like you said, I want to go out of this world.
Woo!
I want to leave.
Yeah, man.
I don't want to be behind.
Amen, Sister Kayla.
I just want to obey Him.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I can't get over yesterday.
Amen.
Best day of my whole entire life.
Glory. Amen. All right. Who else got a word in heart tonight? Good to be saved. Bless you, Sister Molly.
I thank
you. Yeah.
You know, no one took me there but him.
That's right. Bless your heart. Amen. Amen.
I know what we're getting right now is just little pricks of this world.
True. True.
But if you end up in hell, oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my. You know, I got saved some time ago. Some of the journey has been hard. But he's never left.
That's right.
He's never left.
He's got grace sufficient. Amen.
I feel his arms around me a lot of times.
Bless your heart.
You know, if you want to just throw it all away, just go ahead. I'm going through.
Amen.
I'm going through.
Hallelujah.
And I know that we are closer than
close.
We think we are.
That's right.
Because Satan is coming at every direction right now.
She's right. He's done infiltrated the schools. He's done infiltrated the TV. Comes into your living room. He's done infiltrated the internet. He's done infiltrated the news, radio, you name it. I mean, he's the god of this world and the prince of the air. And I'll tell you.
Just like my brother's church right now. He's got a panic.
Yeah.
He said, I don't understand that people are coming. The people that's doing it is coming still to charge. I said, look, Satan is strong, and he's going to get stronger, but he's not going to get stronger than God.
That's right. He's mighty, but he's not almighty.
He said he didn't understand it. I said, that is Satan's tricks. Whoever he can take, whatever he can take, wherever he can take, he's going to destroy.
Amen.
And I said, if your pastor's preaching you to stand.
That's right.
Because we are supposed to stand for his word.
Amen. Stand, having done all, stand there, we'll put on the armor of God.
But I do believe that we will be put against just to see what our faith is going to be and who we're going to serve.
Try it.
And it's not no half-hearted step either.
Bless you, Molly.
There's so many that right now is just straddling the fence, coming out. Wolves and sheep calling.
Right. It's sad, but true. It's true.
Because when I picked that back there, I picked the blood. It meant something.
Yeah, man.
Still means something to me today. And
amen.
I'm going through
it.
Nobody else does.
Bless your
I'm
heart.
I'm going through. I praise His holy name and I love Him tonight.
Amen.
And that's who I'm looking for is my Savior.
Amen.
I praise Him tonight.
Bless you, Molly. Praise the Lord. Jesus told Peter, He said, marvel not. Satan has desired to have you. It may sift you as wheat.
And I got saved. That was a verse that came to me the next morning. And I knew nothing about the Bible.
Yeah.
And now I know what it means. I know what it means for him to come against you.
That's right. He'll come against you nine different ways and then some.
All he wants to.
Yeah.
He's going to be delusional.
Greater is he that's in you and he that's in the world. If God be for you, who can be against you? The Bible says we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. What that means is you can't be defeated. More than a conqueror means you got it, buddy. Who else got a word in your heart tonight?
I'm thankful Christian parents have told me about a heaven and a hell.
Heaven!
They said to see my heart tonight young.
Praise God.
And I never forget it, you know. I was 24 before I got saved. I should have got saved when I was about 8 or 10 years old. You know, the teachers used to take them day schools. Day service, I mean, the church when they have them revivals. But I tell you what, the Lord convicted me two different times, them revivals. Once the White Chapel and one at the Providence down there, you know, church. And
amen.
I didn't go, but I was stupid enough. I sat there and didn't go, and the Lord dealt with me.
Well, Melvin said he used to dismiss school, go down to church, and have revival.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I'm sure glad I did make a change. It was hard for me to make a change. I was 24. I done hurt my heart, you know, and I had to ride that altar a few times, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that's a sample ought to be saved if you can have the faith and trust the Lord. And by grace through faith, I was saved.
That's right.
Not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. You know, that He saved us, and I got to a place where I just had to trust Him, you know.
Trust and obey.
Boat.
There's no other way.
If you have a bone in the water, you got to trust Him.
That's right. That first step's the worst one. Amen.
Sure. He'll let you know you're saved.
That's right.
You can feel at home, you got to say. And you'll know it. Well, I tell you, when you can't hope, you can't hide it. And you won't want to hide it.
Brother Melvin, he said he'll let you know when you're saved. Amen that 100%.
Yeah.
said, "Marvel not, I said, you must be born again."
Amen.
Yeah. We got to have this.
John 3:7.
Better we can't go, but if we don't get the Spirit, we can't be Christ. Can't go to heaven without it. But that comes through faith in Christ. If I was a sinner, I'd ride that altar till I know that.
That's right.
Every time the door was open, buddy, I tell you what.
Knocking on the door.
I know the seriousness of this thing, but I tell you
Amen.
What, it's gonna be forever. Eternity.
True.
You know, won't have no second chances. You know, once that we're judged and cast in like a fire, if people goes in there, they never have no more hopes of getting out. And it says forever.
Forever.
We into it.
Forever and ever.
Hell to pay, but they'll never get hell paid, you know.
That's right.
Be in hell forever.
That's right. It's
a serious thing. I hope people get serious about this thing.
Ain't none of this down there.
That's
not
right.
Even one drop.
Good to have a pastor with you.
Yeah.
Everything.
Brother Melvin said he'll let you know when you're saved. I remember back as a young boy, I was afraid to close my eyes, go to sleep, because I was afraid I'd wake up in hell. I'll tell you right now, since I've been saved, I ain't been afraid to close my eyes. Only I got the dreads, I'll wake up in heaven.
Amen.
Why in the world anybody dread that? Amen?
Right.
How do you threaten someone with heaven? Anybody else got in there in your heart? Now we'll be gone. Thank you for coming. I know it's been a kind of a long service, but praise the Lord, I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If that's all, let's all stand. Brother Melvin, you dismiss us. Word of prayer. Thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for you.